That was a nice way to end a scripture, and they were executed. Thanks be to God. That's right. There you go. Good morning. How are you? Any of you been watching the Olympics? Is Michael Phelps a stud or what? Is he unbelievable? 22 Olympic medals. Just amazing. One of the girls who won the gymnastics event, Gabby, said, she said, people have no idea the hardship and the toil of just getting here, much less once you get here trying to win the whole thing. So just amazing. I don't know about you, but I find the Olympics intriguing. So my son and I decided last year we would have our own Olympics. And we would have the Olympics of riding on a tube, okay? And I have shared some stories with you how me and lakes don't get along. My first time I ever went water skiing, I not only lost my skis, I lost my swim trunks. So me and lakes don't do well together. And our friend Tom Reek invited us out, and I didn't really want to go, but my son loves water. And so we were out there, and Andrew is now almost 12 this week. It's hard to believe he's going to be 12 this week. He did it like 17 times. I mean, he just had a ball. And he kept saying, come on, Dad, come on, Dad, come on, Dad. I was like, no, I don't want to do it. And Tom Reek was like, come on, you'll have fun. I was like, no, I won't. And he said, no, you will. I said, no, you don't understand, I won't. And he said, no, you need to do it. I said, I don't really want to. He said, stop being a wuss. And I said, I like being a wuss, okay? And finally, my son looked at me, and he just said, Dad, be a man. And so that's me there. And the reason I'm smiling is I'm going to the bathroom right now. But I don't know about you, but I'd like to encourage you this morning to be a man and be a woman in what I'm going to have you do this morning, because I'm going to have you do a couple little things that won't be too painful. I'm going to have you talk to each other for a couple seconds or so. So if you're an introvert, Lynn, it'll be okay, just about 12 seconds, okay? And if you're an extrovert, you like to talk, it'll only be 12 seconds, so you can't dominate, okay? Okay, so here's my first question to you. When you think of prayer, what word or image comes to your mind? When you think of prayer, what word or image comes to your mind? If you take about 12 seconds, talk to the person to your right or to your left, ready, set, go. Perfect. 12 seconds should be done. All right, let's start on this side. When you think of prayer, what comes to your mind? This side right here. Huh? Kneeling. Okay. Worship. Conversation with God. God. That's a good answer. God. Okay. How about this side right here? Jesus. Garden. Lord's Prayer. Okay. This group right here. Okay. Helper, okay, this side here. Thankfulness. Conversation with God, like it. Okay, next question. When you think of the concept of praising God, what comes to your mind? What do you think of? You got 10 seconds, talk to each other, ready, set, go. Okay, thank you. Balcony people. You're always ignored. So, shout it out. What comes to your mind when you think of praising God? Love. Love, okay. Anything else? Okay. Music, okay. How about you guys right here, this group? Singing. You talked out loud. This group right here. Obedience. Ooh, I like that. Over in the far corner over here. You guys. Here. Huh? Action. What do you mean by that? Oh, you have to do something. You married over your head. So, I mean, if you're married, isn't that true? You married, come on, hello? If you don't agree, you're going to have a long ride home, okay? So here's the deal. So the reason I wanted to talk to you about this is because about a year ago, I did an inventory of my spiritual life. And a lot of people think that we preachers are great at everything as far as spiritual things. Praying, reading the Bible, teaching from the Bible, preaching. And the bottom line is we're not, we don't have it all together. And I specifically looked at my prayer and praise life. And I determined that my prayer and praise life was really dull. I'd really hit a rut in my prayer life. And so this past year, I've been intentionally working at upgrading my prayer and praise life. And I was thinking about this. And so I wanted to talk to you about that this morning because this has been a journey for me. I've not arrived, trust me. But I like the definition of prayer as talking and listening to God. I like that definition because how many of you know we're good at the talking piece, but we're not great at the listening part? Would you agree with that? And that I like the idea of praise is applauding God. Applauding God. If Michael Phelps and Missy Franklin and President Obama, who I'm sure would love to meet me, but if he walked in here, and I don't know any of those three, but if they walked in, how many of you know we would probably applaud? And maybe give them a standing ovation. Well, I think of that as what praise is. It's applauding God. It's giving God a standing ovation. It's worshiping God. And so I don't know about you, but I really want to get this prayer praise thing going in my life better. And so I was at Ginsburg Church 2 weeks ago, and I was doing some of this talk, and we created a video and of the way different people pray. And I want you to watch this video clip.
Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day, Lord Jesus, and all your wonderful, Lord Jesus, things that you, Lord Jesus, do for us, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, I just want to thank you for Annie and Sarah and Molly.
I know that with your strength, we can change the world! We can change the world!
Woo! Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars.
And we give you the praise.
Yes, Jesus.
We cannot wait to see what you're going to do today. And we are excited.
Aunt Margaret's really nasty hangnail.
And I worship you forever and ever.
God,
Toilet paper, deodorant. Speaking of, I need to get some more.
Hey God, thanks for bringing us here today. Thank you for all the stuff that you're going to do in our lives. The way you're going to work is absolutely amazing, and we are super amped for everything that you hold for us.
I just don't know what to say.
Hey God, man, you're great. Help me find a mate. Amen.
Salt, garlic salt, sea salt, kosher salt.
God, just let your doves of knowledge flow from under our fingernails of repentance.
Firewire 800, IDE, Thunderbolt.
Nice. Well, okay, so where do you find yourself in all those? We won't talk about that today, but I started thinking about how do we upgrade our prayer life and how do we move out of safe praying? Because I don't know about you, but I get lots of emails about lots of prayer requests. Probably you do too. I'm not opposed to that. I think it's great. But I started realizing that I became the checklist guy. Check, 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 check. And after a while, I found that wasn't empowering anymore. And so I started to pray and think about how do I upgrade my life. And so I want to give you really, we kind of like acrostics around here because they're easy to remember. And when you get to the last letter, you know that I'm close to done. So that's a good thing. So if you pull out your little bulletin, I'm going to give you four little words to write down to think about how to move past safe praying. And the first S is singing. Singing. The scripture says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. It took me a long time to figure this one out, and I don't know, maybe I'm just slow. Have you ever realized that singing is praying? Singing is a way of praying. It's a key component. When you sing from the Psalms, when you sing a song, when you sing a contemporary song, when you sing a hymn, what you're basically doing, whether you realize it or not, you're praying. You're praying. You're just praying by singing. And so the scripture commands us 120 times to sing to the Lord. Sing to, now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a very good singer. That's why the Bible has a category called make a joyful noise, because I'm the one that makes the noise. It's joyful, but I can't sing. But Jamie Dow, she can sing. And Jamie, where are you? There she is. Jamie's going to lead us in one of my favorite songs, which is one of my favorite prayers, which is Be Thou My Vision. And so I'd like you to stand. We're going to sing two choruses of Be Thou My Vision. And would you sing this with your heart? Would you sing this with your soul? You may be seated. Sing. The great thing about coming here is that when you leave, you've got songs in your head and songs in your heart that you can sing all week long. So when you find yourself waking up at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, that's what comes to your mind. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus. And the verse before this says this: they were beaten and flogged. The same thing that happened to Jesus. They were beaten and flogged. And the next verse you would think would say something like this: and Paul and Silas were angry at God. Or Paul and Silas complained to God, why are you letting this happen to me? Instead, the verse says this: and at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. Now, I don't know about you, but if I've just been beaten to the pulp and I've been flogged and my body's like hamburger meat, I'm not a happy camper. But Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns. There's an attitude. And if you want to upgrade your prayer life from dull to dynamic, I suggest you start here by starting to sing more. Sing to God more. Now the A is audacious. Everyone say audacious. So Peter is in prison as well. We've got two prison scenarios. And I have a feeling that there's some people in this audience today that you're in some kind of prison. It might be a prison of fear, or prison of worry, prison of loneliness, prison of no job, prison of a bad marriage. And the Bible says here that Peter is in jail, and he's followed one of the original disciples. In Acts chapter 12, it says this: Herod arrested some of the original disciples and intended to persecute them. And it says in verse 2, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. Now, James, the brother of John, was murdered, was executed. He is one of the brothers they call in the Bible. Jesus nicknamed them the Thunder Brothers. They were the ones that wanted to pour down on Samaria and kill them because they weren't listening and responding. So here this guy has been put to death. And the next verse says, and Peter was in there too. So in other words, what happened to this dude being executed is going to happen next to Peter. So Peter's got a death sentence on him. So he's in prison. And here's what we know about Acts 12. The people of God are in the church, in the homes, praying. And I call it circling over. And I'll tell you how I get that in a second. They started circling this one prayer request, and they were relentless, and they would not give up until something happened. So what happens? Well, Peter gets out miraculously out of the jail. He comes, and he knocks on the door, and he starts knocking. And there's a girl named Rhoda, not Rhonda, Rhoda, who answers the door, realizes Peter's there, kind of spooked, kind of freaked out. She runs back. She tells all the guys in the church house, Peter, he was in jail. Now he's outside. And they're like, here's what it says. He kept on knocking. And when they opened the door, they were astonished. Have you ever had God astound you? Have you ever had something so precious and so dear that you had to so rely on God that only thing that could happen to make this thing astonishing is that only God could pull it off? Maybe for some of you, you're there today, that you need God to show up today on something in your life. And some of you are maybe like Peter, you're knocking, and you're wondering why there's no answer. And you're knocking. And I say this, start praying audacious prayers. Now, 4 or 5 years ago, a guy named Jim Collins wrote a book called Good to Great. And for you who are in business, you would like this book, or you've probably read this book. And his whole thing was, how do you take a business and make it from good to great? And he came up with this thing called a BHAG, Big, Hairy, Audacious Goals. I would like you to consider it a Big, Hairy, Audacious Prayers. And here's where I got this idea. I was reading this book a while back, and it talked about a man by the name of John Goddard. I'd never heard of him. In 1940, John Goddard was a 15-year-old boy who decided one day he would come up with a list of goals for his life. He's 15 years old, okay? So around 1955 or so, John Goddard came up with a list, a 15-year-old kid, and here's what they were. Milk a poisonous snake, learn jujitsu, run a mile in 5 minutes, go on an overseas mission trip, retrace the steps of Marco Polo, learn French, Spanish, and Arabic, play the flute and violin fluently, climb Mount Kilimanjaro. This is a 15-year-old dude. Study Komodo dragons on the island of Komodo, build a telescope, read the Bible from cover to cover, and publish an article in National Geographic. 15-year-old John Goddard wrote 127 goals, and by the time he turned 50, he had achieved 108 of them. And I started thinking about goals and dreams and goals and dreams, and I started realizing that your goal and your dream eventually becomes your prayer. Case study, Acts 12. What's their goal? The church's goal is to get Peter out of jail, right? That's their goal. What's their dream? Their dream is that Peter gets out of jail so he can keep preaching the gospel. And their dream and their goal becomes their pervasive, dominant prayer. Get Peter out of jail. And so when he does, they're kind of flipped out. Whoa, God really does stuff. God really does answer stuff. Has God ever astounded you? Has God ever flipped you out? Has God ever freaked you out? Like, whoa, he really does respond. And maybe for some of you today, you are in that needy place. You're in some kind of place, some kind of prison, where you're needing God to show up. My friend calls it deadlines with dreams and dreams with deadlines. I'd like you to think for a moment about your life. If I could just pretend for a moment that I had each one of you for 15 minutes, that I could talk to you one-on-one. And if I could say to you this, what is one dream What is one goal that can become that dominant prayer that you start circling? I'd like you to think for about 30 seconds. I'm just going to be quiet. I want you to start the process now. What is one dream, one dominant prayer? What is that Jericho wall that needs to come down? Who is that friend that needs to be reached? Who is that person that needs to be healed? What marriage needs to be rescued? What business could do something amazing for God? What neighbor needs to be reached? I'm going to be quiet for just for about 20 to 30 seconds. I want you to start the process. What's one audacious prayer that you could start praying today? Let it be so, Lord. Amen. So the F is fervent. Everyone say fervent. Fervent. I looked up the word in the dictionary. It uses words like passionate, ardent, enthusiastically, eager, fervishly, feverishly. But here's my favorite one. Boiling over. Isn't that a good one? Boiling over. Here the church in Acts 12 is praying and praying and praying. And they're not praying for anything else that we know of except get Peter out of prison. And I think prayer lists are good. But I think that sometimes we just need to focus a little bit more tighter. One or two things and just hover there for a while. Just sort of camp there. In 1860, a man was born by the name of Gypsy Smith. He was raised by gypsies, and as a young man became a follower of Jesus Christ. Little did he know that his life would change, and his prayer life would change, and he would change lives. He literally, in his lifetime, crisscrossed over the Atlantic Ocean 45 times to preach the gospel of Jesus to over 2 million people. I had never heard of him. They asked him what was his secret. He said, it's not my preaching. They said, what is your secret? And here's what his answer was. He said, go home and lock yourself in a room and kneel down in the middle of the floor with a piece of chalk and draw a circle around yourself. There on your knees, do not get up until you pray fervently and brokenly that God will start a new movement within that circle of chalk. What do you need to do today? What do you need to start circling today? That becomes your pervasive, fervent, ardent, boiling over prayer. Finally, the E stands for expectation, or expectantly. Mark Batterson calls it dreams with deadlines. Think in terms of prayer as goals. Think of it as this. I work like it depends on me, but I pray like it depends on Jesus. When I was 30 years old, I was pastoring a church in Athens, Ohio. And for my 30th birthday, my friend gave me a gift. It wasn't the kind of gift that I actually wanted, to be honest. Have you ever gotten a gift that you're not sure that you wanted? Group therapy moment. Hello? Thank you. Okay. God bless all three of you. Okay. And he gave me 30 dreams. He gave me a journal and he said, I want you to come up with 30 dreams for your life. And I was like, couldn't you have gotten me like a Best Buy card or something? He's a close friend. You know, I did his wedding. He was my best man at my wedding. He said, I want you on your 30th birthday, I want you to start dreaming for your life. He said, dream about things that you know that only God could pull off. So I did. So I went away for 3 days and I dreamed. And here's some of the things I wrote in my journal when I was 30 years old. I'm 50 something years old now. Here's what I wrote, 30 years old. In a lifetime, I want to speak to 1.5 million people about the good news of Jesus. I want to preach in 30 states in the United States. I want to preach in 30 countries. I want to write 50 articles. I want to write 25 books. I want to celebrate 50 years of marriage. Woo-hoo, 31, baby. Got 31 this August. I want to see some of my lost friends saved and some of my family members come to Jesus. I want to train 2,000 youth workers in my lifetime. I want to be a great husband and a great dad. That's when I was 30 years old, and I have not achieved everything. I've got many more countries to go. Many more countries to go. Been to 17, got more to go. What do you need to circle today? You know, men and women, Pastor Jeff used to always say this to me. I think it's your favorite verse is Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does God see about you that you don't see? What do you today need to circle? For some of you, it might be very simple. Maybe for some of you today, you're like, you know what? I've never really given my life to Jesus fully. That might be your audacious prayer today. For some of you, it might be this. I'm going to get in a small group. I'm going to get involved in more. Or, you know what? Claire told me, I need leaders. You say, well, you don't want me as a leader, David. Trust. No. Me, well, I know what God can do. You say, well, you don't know me. I understand that. You don't know me either. I'm the kid who could barely read. I'm the kid that could barely talk in front of a crowd. Yeah, I know me, but I know God. And I want to say this to you as we close. The only limits there are about dreams and prayer and praise, the only limits are what we do to ourselves. Would you agree? God doesn't have any restraining orders on you. We do all the limiting, don't we? And if the biggest thing you can pray is about the weather, your dreams are too small. And the biggest thing is, Lord, I want my business to go well, that's too small. Today I'm asking you to elevate. And why am I asking you to do that? Because I'll tell you this, because there are no small prayers in God's economy. God can handle anything you throw at him. But we do the limiting, don't we? And I'm asking you today to consider this as we close. He is big. He's bigger than any of your goals. He's bigger than any of your dreams. And if you will look to the big God and you'll start singing and becoming more audacious and start becoming fervent and start expecting one or two things, I guarantee you this, your prayer life will be upgraded as mine has, from dull to dynamic. Would you bow with me? Maybe there's some of you here this morning that are saying, wow, thank you for this, but you're overwhelming me. Where do I start? And my response is, start small. Take a step today. Take a baby step today. And the question is, how can God use your life? And all 800 of us in this room, how can he use each one of our lives uniquely, not only based on our gifts and our talents, but based on how God can use each one of us? And for some, it's speaking. For some, it's business. For some, it's being a mom. There's just so many creative outlets that God can use us for. And so today, my prayer, Jesus, is that you'll use each one of us to draw that circle. Draw that, put that piece of chalk around us and basically say, God, start with me. Start with me. We don't want to leave unchanged. We know that prayer changes people. It doesn't always change situations or environments, but changes us. So, Lord, we ask you today, change us. We love you. Send us forth today in that power of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said together. Amen.